How do you do? There's an ancient warning we all should heed, to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Growing up, the woman in this story didn't know that edict. She kept her heart sealed because of deep wounds, unaware that someone already knew her secrets and fears, and would bring healing when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Operator, get me the police. Police, I live out in the country off the main road to the falls, and I just saw a woman drive into the neighboring farm and take two little girls into the old vacant farmhouse. Nobody has lived there for years, and the woman came out alone. She left those little girls inside and drove away. I couldn't tell how old they were, but they were small. One was maybe four, and the other was maybe six or seven. Okay, here's the address.
Proclaiming the truth that makes you free. This is Unshackled, true life stories dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Change and uncertainty are part of being homeless. But those who come to Pacific Garden Mission find a stable environment, a place that shelters them while they learn their purpose in life. Hundreds of men, women, and children stay at the mission each day. And thanks to friends who send financial gifts, they're given food, fresh clothing, and a safe place to sleep. Even medical and dental care is provided in the mission clinic, all without charge to resident guests. Without the bread of life and living water, lasting change would not occur. So, mission pastors and counselors introduce each guest to the one who says, "I change not." As they follow him, their lives are transformed. And that same message goes out to the world through this program in 14 languages. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3281 in the series, Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
We have to move to a new foster home, Collie.
Why?
They're getting divorced.
But where are we going to go, Isabel?
I don't know, but I'm not sorry to leave. Marion's mean to me, and Roy hates us.
We've been here a long time.
7 years.
I don't want to go. This is the only home I remember.
You don't remember Mom and Dad?
No, I was only 4.
Dad died, and Mom took us to an old house and left us.
Nobody cares about us, Isabel. Nobody.
That 11-year-old was mistaken in her perception that nobody cared. Somebody cared very much. This is the story of how she learned who really cared. The true testimony of a woman called Collie, right now on Unshackled.
Years later, I learned that our mother spent 2 years in prison for abandoning us in that farmhouse, making us wards of the state. Our first foster home was difficult. My sister Isabel and I spent much of our time in the basement bedroom we shared, taking many of our meals there. We were scared, but we had each other. Our foster mom was cruel to my sister, so I learned to not draw attention to myself. Our second foster home was with another middle-aged couple who let us play. We had been there 6 months when the caseworker came to visit.
I wonder what the social worker wants.
I hope we're not leaving.
I don't like it here. They're mean to me.
Here she comes.
You girls should gather your things. You're leaving.
Why?
They want to adopt you, Collie, but the state insists on keeping the two of you together.
Good. I want to go.
Where are we going?
To a receiving home.
What's that?
A place where you wait until a foster home becomes available. Now, pack up.
I wish someone would adopt me.
Your mother won't sign the adoption papers.
Why not? She didn't want us.
At first, the receiving home was kind of fun. A working farm with animals and kids everywhere. Foster kids, neighbor kids, and their own kids. One day, my sister and I were playing tag with one of their sons when Isabel tripped, fell forward, and knocked the boy to the ground. He screamed in pain because he scraped his knee. I tried to explain what happened.
Isabel tripped. She didn't mean to hurt him.
You girls ganged up on him and did that deliberately.
No, I didn't. I tripped.
You hurt him on purpose.
She wouldn't do that.
All right, everybody go to the dining room table. I want you all to see what we do to mean kids. You girls cut a switch, and it had better be a sturdy one, or I'll punish you even harder.
We cut our switches, and Isabel was told to lean over a chair. She'd been beaten so many times over the years, she was crying before the man even struck her, and she thrashed around so much, they had to hold her down. I was raging with indignation because we were innocent. When he said, "Your turn," I prayed, "Oh God, please don't let this man make me cry." Though he hit me hard and long, I held back the tears until I got to my room feeling sorry for myself.
You didn't even cry.
I wouldn't give him the satisfaction.
It isn't fair, Polly. We're always getting punished. And these people talk about Christian love.
I hate them. I hate them all.
People are liars.
I'll never trust anyone again. Ever.
I lost hope. I realized that no matter how hard I tried, I would never be loved. I stayed by myself after that, and the family let me alone. Then our caseworker told us that our aunt and uncle wanted us to live with them. We were so excited. This would be different. This was family. We were wrong. It was the worst place of all.
What are you doing?
Pushing this dresser against the door so Uncle Pete can't get in.
He's such a creep.
I can't stand him. Always leering at me.
Yeah, I can't wait to get away from here.
You have to wait till you're 18?
Yeah, another 2 years.
Well, we wanted our own family and we got it.
I like Aunt Susan.
I do too, but Uncle Pete makes my skin crawl.
I spent 18 months trying to evade my uncle. One day, I came home to an empty house and decided to clean the kitchen. Uncle Pete came home, and we didn't speak, but an altercation ensued. Fear gripped me, so I grabbed a cast iron skillet on the stove and swung with all my might, hitting him in the back. He dropped and lay still on the floor, and I stood there, looking at him for a long time. I thought he was dead.
Your uncle isn't dead, but his kidneys were so badly damaged he had to give up his business.
He tried to abuse me. I don't remember anything after I hit him.
His story is different.
I'll never go back there.
Don't worry. You're going to a new home.
What about Isabel?
She'll be in a different home. You'll have to live separately from now on.
In a way, I was relieved that my sister and I weren't together. Although she was older, I always felt responsible for her. I was 14, and this was my fourth foster home. I worked hard, but the family let me alone, which was fine with me, except that I was lonely. Then they brought in another foster girl, and we became friends.
The family's gone for the day again.
Yeah, leaving us to finish the work.
Yeah. I think it bothers them that we don't speak to them unless we have to.
I don't care. They don't really care about us. We're just free helpers.
Free? I think the state pays them to keep us here.
Let's run away.
Where would you go?
Back to La Crosse, to my second foster family. They wanted to adopt me.
I want to find my older sister.
Let's go.
Well, let's wait until some night when they're gone, and then we can't be seen.
A few nights later, we left and walked for miles. Then we decided to hitchhike, and the third car that passed was a patrol car. We wouldn't tell them our names, so they put us in jail for the night. The next day, we called our foster parents. My attitude grew increasingly surly, and a month later, I came home from school to find my belongings packed. They called me to the phone to speak with my caseworker.
Kali, your foster family is willing to give you another chance if you change your attitude and do as you're told.
I wasn't the only one who ran away.
But you have a bad attitude, Kali.
Well, I'm not giving them another chance, so you might as well come and get me.
On the way to the receiving home, I told the caseworker I would never go into another foster home. I spent a month at the receiving home before she took me to a group home in Green Bay. There were six other girls besides me, a zoo of self-centeredness. But I didn't have to fit into a foster family. All I had to do was follow the rules. This was my third move to a new school as a junior. I didn't know anyone, so I was a senior when I had my first blind double date with a guy named Luke. I'm excited to see the fireworks.
Yeah, we get plenty of fireworks in Vietnam.
My friend said you were home on leave.
Yeah, I have to go back in a few days. Will you write me, Golly?
Yeah. I don't have any real family, so I have lots of time.
No real family?
No, my dad died when I was four, and Mom abandoned my sister and me. I live in a group home for girls.
Oh, how sad.
Oh, I'm used to it. 2 months later, Luke returned home, and we dated. We married in November, 4 months after we met. I had just turned 18. Our first year went well, but I noticed that Luke drank a lot. Many times I felt lonely because he spent time with his friends in a bar. So I decided to have a baby, someone to love. Maybe Luke would stay home. But after our daughter Cindy was born, he was gone even more. At first, I didn't mind because I loved Cindy so much. My life revolved around our daughter.
You still up?
I thought you'd be glad to see me.
Oh, I thought you only cared about Cindy.
That's not true. Why do you say things like that?
Because she's all you talk about. You're always busy with her.
You're never around. You spend all your time in bars with your buddies.
Yeah, we understand each other.
I suppose I don't.
Well, everything makes you angry. I did enough fighting in Vietnam.
If you really cared about me, you'd spend more time with me.
Listen, I can't be everything to you, Kali. I can't be the family you've never had. I need my space.
I kept the pain of my past locked away and focused on my daughter. If I had known the heartache that lay ahead, I would have dealt with my battered heart.
We'll hear about Kali's poignant story in just a moment. Of the many gifts of God, one exceeds them all. The gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, who offers eternal life. At Christmas time, we celebrate His birth by giving gifts to those we love. And we like to give presents to our homeless guests. With 700 or 800 men, women, and children, this would be impossible without help because we like to give each one something new, something just for them. Would you consider helping us in this effort? It would be greatly appreciated. It's so easy to buy a gift for a homeless person. Since they have nothing, they appreciate whatever you get them. A hat or gloves, shirt or sweater, underwear, socks or jackets for men, women, or children. Any size, any color. They come in all sizes and ages. Children also appreciate a book or a toy. No need to wrap what you buy. We'll match your gift to the right person, but you can send ribbon or wrapping paper. If you have no time to shop, send a check for Christmas. Send your gift or check to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Donate online at www.unshackled.org. Thank you for remembering the homeless at the Old Lighthouse this Christmas.
By the time our daughter was 5 years old, Luke and I were struggling in our marriage. My nerves were so bad, I developed psoriasis. About the same time, his family started saying goofy things.
Cindy's old enough that you should take her to church, Kali.
I hardly ever went to church. Why should she go?
Because God loves you both, and He wants you to come to Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. He is the light of the world. He gave His life so you could go to heaven someday.
You never talked like that before.
I didn't know Jesus before. I knew about Him, but I didn't know Him personally. You must be born again to really see God and understand His purpose for your life.
You really think life has a purpose?
Yes. To know the Lord and live according to His will. Kali, God loves you.
If God loves me, why did He take my dad and let my mother abandon me?
I can't answer that, but I know He loves you.
Everywhere I went, I seemed to hear how God loved me, an expression that irritated me. By then, I had psoriasis so bad some of my hair fell out. Late one night, I was home alone waiting for Luke. I sat in the dark with my angry thoughts when I realized I was thinking about that expression, God loves you. Aggravation swept over me. I had not considered talking to God, but I spoke out loud to Him. Everyone tells me you're real and you love me. I figure if you're real, that means you must be pretty powerful. So why don't you tell me you love me yourself? I can't explain what happened next, but the knowledge of God and His love filled every fiber of my being. A feeling of love poured into my heart, almost taking my breath away. I sat stunned. Then I began laughing and crying. God was real. He had revealed Himself to me, and I was sure that God loved me.
What's happened to you? You're different.
Everything your family's been telling me is true, Luke. God is real, and He loves me.
How do you know?
He's inside my heart and mind, Luke.
I suppose that means you'll start going to church then, too?
Yeah. I want to know everything I can about Jesus.
Well, don't expect me to go with you.
Not even once.
That's not my thing.
I'll take Cindy.
Fine.
Do you know what I read in the Bible today?
What?
That believers are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I always wanted to be adopted, to belong to someone who loves me, and now I do.
Just don't become a fanatic, Kali.
As time passed, I felt that God was speaking to my heart less often, leaving me confused and angry. But a new desire came. I wanted more children. Our first son, Gene, was born a year after I was saved, and our second son, Andrew, came 2 years later. I went to parenting classes and Bible studies, trying to be the kind of mother God wanted me to be.
Brothers and sisters, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible is clear about that. I'll give you some verses like Romans chapter 1. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And Hebrews chapter 11. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen. We start our walk with the Lord by faith in the blood of Jesus, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. And moment by moment, we continue from faith to faith, growing in knowledge of God's will.
I worked very hard to keep my life and house in perfect running order. I learned to play guitar and wrote songs. I helped in children's church and other programs. I served at school and in Cub Scouts. I held prayer meetings in our home and even fasted and prayed. I portrayed happiness and peace. But I was running from my past, trying to earn God's love. As the years passed and our children grew, I began feeling separated from God, even uncomfortable around believers.
You're not going to church today?
No, I don't feel like it.
Good. We can go visit some friends.
It's kind of sad, seeing our kids grow up and leave home.
But we still have Andy in the nest.
He graduates next year.
That's the way life is, Kali. Kids grow up and leave home.
At least we're starting to get grandchildren. When Gene gets married, we'll have more. I had drifted away from God, From time to time, I listened to Christian radio for words of hope. There was hope for those who didn't know Christ, but what about me? I had known the Lord and grown distant from Him. Sometimes I whispered a prayer. Oh God, please don't let me go. One sunny day in 1997, Luke and I returned from running errands and checked our answering machine. A detective was looking for our son, Gene. We assumed one of Gene's friends needed help. It never occurred to us that our son could be in trouble. He was easygoing and hardworking, the kind of young man everyone liked. Luke and I went out on our deck, and soon our neighbor came over.
Have you heard the news?
What news?
One of the Carter girls was found dead.
Oh, no! Which one?
I'm not sure, but they think she was murdered.
What happened?
They haven't said. Well, I have to get back.
Thanks for telling us.
Oh, I wonder if Gene knows that his girlfriend's sister is dead.
It couldn't be Gene's girlfriend, could it?
You think some madman killed her and kidnapped Gene?
Let's get to his apartment.
Our son's apartment was staked out by police. Later that day, we learned that our son had killed his girlfriend when she broke up with him. Then he fled. He got to the Wisconsin border when he decided to come back and face the consequences. Oh, I felt as if God had completely abandoned me, as if I weren't a horror movie that couldn't be stopped. Family and friends came, offering support, but I lay on my bed asking God to please stop my heart. My despair was profound.
Kali, you need to eat or drink something.
I can't swallow, Luke. How can this be happening?
I don't know.
What if people call us and say terrible things? What if they throw rocks through our window?
I don't think they're going to do that. Everybody knows us.
What if the press camps out on our doorstep? And what about Cindy and Andrew?
Our children are having a hard time with this, too. It's hard on everyone.
There's no way to fix this, Luke.
No, we just have to deal with it. But we still have our son. What about Jane's parents? They don't have their daughter.
Oh, God. Please help us. Instantly, I felt God's comfort again, reminding me to trust in Him. The scriptures flooded my mind. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe. God came to me in my despair. He gave me a simple instruction: trust in the Lord. As Proverbs chapter 3 commands, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. I went to church that Sunday and repented of my insincerity to my faith.
The hearing is tomorrow.
I wonder if her family will be there.
We have to be there for Jean.
The media will be there, Luke.
We can endure it, Callie.
Oh, I remember how I felt when I thought I had killed my uncle. The guilt and grief. The relief when I learned he was still alive.
Yeah, but Jean did kill his girlfriend.
I have to forgive him, but it's hard. I struggle with anger at what he did.
Still, we have to assure him of our love. He's our son.
I think the Lord wants me to make a statement tomorrow.
What kind of statement?
To the community, to her family.
How will you know what to say, Kali?
I'll trust in the Lord. He'll give me the right words.
How does the family feel about
it? Ma'am, do you have anything to say?
We deeply regret that our son took the life of this beautiful girl. We loved her like our own daughter, Cindy. We pray that in time her family will be able to forgive our son for this terrible sin. We know that she knew and loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and she is now in heaven with Him. We pray that God will comfort and strengthen her family and us through this tragedy. Please, please pray for them. Thank you for your prayers and support. I had no idea we'd receive so much love and support. The pastor sent several women to pray with us. My sorrow for the slain girl's family was at times overwhelming. Yet seeing our son in shackles was also heartbreaking. Jean received a sentence of life in prison.
How are you doing, Callie?
Pastor, I don't know what I'd do without the Lord.
Have you spoken to Jane's family since the sentencing?
Oh, yes. They're believers, and they spoke about God's love and his forgiveness for us and our son. They walk with God.
That's the Lord's will for each of us. God can use tragedies like this to draw us closer to him.
I know for sure now that Jesus will never leave me or forsake me. No matter what happens, he'll be there.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Oh, I love Psalm 27. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. I am a secretary in our church, and Luke is a deacon. I've led a grief share study and other projects around the church, but I know that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
We couldn't agree more. Listening friend, we hope you will repent and put your faith in the blood of Christ shed on the cross for your sins. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." If you have never asked Christ Jesus to save you, you can do that wherever you are. God sees your heart. If you need help in making this life-changing decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry. www.unshackled.org. I learn much about what people are going through daily by hearing Unshackled, a listener emailed us. We agree, and hope you thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 3281, heard in the true story of Kali, where Oksana Fedunishin, Adam Sweeters, Jennifer Dimmitt, Brianna DiGiulio, Corliss Preston, and Jeff Lupitan. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We hope you write soon to tell us how these dramas brighten your day. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.